welcome to America's longest running show.
Yes, please.
Alongside Steve Gray and Dave Edwright, here's Nick Francesco on Memphis supported Jack 94.3.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 2th of July.
So many 2011 and you. Oh, you lucky people. You're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, before we even go into the news or anything else, I'd like to pre-apologize for Dave.
What?
To everyone here.
I'll be good.
Yeah.
It'll stay right in there.
Put it in the other room.
No, it will stay right here in the holster.
Oh, you're not even going to text to all your hundreds of admirers during the show?
Nope.
Dave just got a new phone, the HTC, which was it, the Inspire?
Yep.
The Inspire. So he's...
Android.
He's been spending all his time with his nose buried in his new phone, playing with it.
Well, I just got it, less than an hour ago?
Yep.
I literally got it,
Well, that was a mistake. Get it after the show.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what we had planned, but my daughter had a picnic to go to, and I said, well, I got to come out this way anyways, for the show.
Right.
And the guy agreed to meet us at 10 o'clock, because he goes, well, if you come after, I might be busy with other clients. So right. He was happily, very glad to come in early, set everything up, and... it was a guaranteed sale for him, four phones, and got us all set up. And Dan's got a new one. Now I do, Missy and Cody, we all have Android phones. And, I probably will be busy over the weekend. I'll admit, as I told you last week, I was already looking at different apps.
Yep.
And that type of stuff. And you've pointed out some real good ones to me, too.
Yeah,
of course, I had to check those out. Plus, I'd like to get going because you signed me up for the Android Lust.
Right.
And I, already checking out some apps that, maybe I can report on that. Like I say, I'm new at this. And
so are a lot of other people.
Yeah,
so.
And they'll learn along with me.
Yep.
So that's cool.
All right, news of the day. And you can give us a call, by the way. The number is 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. In the meantime, Google took a second stab at social networking Tuesday with the launch of Google Plus, a program designed to interactively connect users and challenge worldwide social networking king, Facebook. The search engine giant failed miserably and spectacularly in its first attempt at an online social network, last year's Google Buzz, which encountered difficulties in cracking the crowded social scene and was sharply criticized for what some users saw as a lack of privacy safeguards. Google is hopeful that this time around it'll be able to take a bigger step into the social networking marketplace. Google Plus is rolling out an interface similar to that of Facebook, offering users the opportunity to upload pictures and video and make sure every feature offered during the launch is easily accessible with a mobile platform. Perhaps one of its more interesting features is Hangouts. Or perhaps Plus Hangouts. I'm not quite sure how they want to pronounce all that. An interactive video feature that would let users chat with multiple people at the same time, coming and going as users please. The features, however, have raised a lot of concern. There are worries that its concept hasn't quite caught on and never will, although others call it a hot innovation for a younger tech-savvy generation. I don't remember if I put this anywhere in this article, but you can chat simultaneously, either on voice, simultaneously on voice and audio and video, but also with up to 10 people at a time, which is way cooler than everything else. One way Google Plus could separate itself from competition is its emphasis on separating groups. A common quibble users have with Facebook is its redefinition of the word friend. The site is set up so that true friends, coworkers, family members, and mere acquaintances are lumped under the same simple friend label. With Google Plus, however, users can divvy up different groups of friends under the circles feature. For instance, in one circle, a user could post a video of a new baby to a group of family members, then send an intriguing work-related article to a circle of colleagues without having to muddle personal and professional lives. You can have as many circles as you want. You can name them anything you want. You can put people in multiple circles at the same time. It's really very cool. Many other online social networks categorize all users' contacts as friends, which tends to make it more difficult to share information, according to Google. The amount of control users have over the information they send out is priceless for users, Google says, especially in a tech scene where the consequences of oversharing have begun to set in and privacy is a growing concern. Also, unlike with Facebook, Google says that your data are your data. They don't own any of it. In fact, they have a feature, which I've already tried out and love, called Data Liberation, which lets you download all of your own data anytime you want, from Picasa, your profile, your stream, which is the set of stuff that comes into to Google+, Buzz, Circles, and Contacts. Actually, it just shoots you over to Google Takeout, which does the real work. Anybody can go to Google Takeout. And so far, I've been playing with it. I'm in the beta. It's very, 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 very cool. One of the things that I said online was, I don't mean to insult anybody, but this interface is incredibly clean. In fact, it's Apple clean. And somebody wrote back and said, well, that's because the designer was Andy Hertzfeld. The guy who, for those of you who are Apple people, know designed much of the original Apple interface. Yeah. So it's really cool. So our question of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Google Plus. And the choices are, I cannot wait, I'm enjoying it, thanks, invite me, please, meh, and I could not conceivably care less. And so far, we have 31 people who voted. Most of you are incredibly apathetic, but that's okay. That's okay. But when you're done with that poll, I know you. You'll have more you want to say. So if you check the yellow box underneath, it will take you to another website where you can enter in exactly your opinion. And the question here is, who do you trust more, Google or Facebook? Yes, those are your only two choices. And the choice is, and there's a bunch of people who've...
More and more companies, though, are jumping on the bandwagon with Google.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, all the stuff that's on there, I mean, the calendaring, you know, and, I mean, it's such a great search engine. One, you can sit there, you know, and as far as pulling up, if you just want to see, say within Google, you just want to show pictures. So you can just say images. And then within images, just if folks don't realize this, within images, you can say all images, or you can say low definition, high definition, very high definition.
Or recent, you know, within the last month, within the last
week. I mean, they give you so many different criterias that you can set.
Yep.
That's why it is becoming more famous than Bing and Yahoo and the rest of them, and all the other apps and everything else that's tied to it.
You know, Google in general with Google Mail and Google Docs. So it's basically a, you know, to you, Microsoft.
Yeah.
Explicit deleted.
Explicit deleted Microsoft. One of the things that I really like about Google Docs is that multiple people can edit a document simultaneously, and you see all their edits while they happen.
Yep.
That's really magic to me. And if you have your mail hosted there, you can do that and get all those docs and share with people. We can share even if they're not hosted there. But if you have an entire company, for $50 a person a year, you can do the same thing for your entire organization. Mm-hmm. And you get more features.
Well, cool.
You can do it for free, obviously, but you can also get more features. And by the way, we have a we're on Facebook, as you know. Soundbites is on Facebook, and we have a poll there as well.
You got to get a Google Plus account for Soundbites now, too.
Yeah, well, I had my wrist slapped, I'm afraid.
That was annoying me. We could hear ourselves coming through.
They apparently don't want yet groups on as a person. It was still under beta. Google Plus is still beta. It's still actually alpha. They're still testing. And they're going to have something like Facebook Pages for companies, but they would prefer that companies don't sign up as a user.
All right. What is the plus?
Hold on.
Yeah.
At Soundbites on Facebook, our Facebook page, I have a poll there as well. And the question is, how do you enjoy Soundbites? And your choices are live every Saturday on Jazz 90.1 FM, live every Saturday over the internet, live every Saturday over Ustream, and podcast, baby. Now, of course, we can't get to Facebook here, so I can't tell you how well we're doing at that poll, but if you're on Facebook, you can go to that poll and check it out there as well. So join us. And, of course, our question to you is, who do you trust more, Google or Facebook? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll free at 1-800-790-0415.
One thing I got to tell you, you know, talking about, you know, how they listen to it. My nephew, God love him, he just came back from Afghanistan. And I was Skyping with him. And he, evidently, a few of his buddies in the unit and that were, he happened to be in the mess hall. And the one guy had his laptop there. And a few of these guys were listening to us on a podcast.
That's what
over
I like
in
to
Afghanistan.
Hear.
And my nephew goes over to him and he goes, "Oh, that's my Uncle Dave." And the guys go, "Yeah, right." And they had him go to, he had him go to the Jazz website net and show our pictures net. He goes, "Yep, right there." He goes, "We love these guys."
Well, listen, to everybody listening to us in Afghanistan, we love you. God bless you and each and every day for everything you do. Come home safe.
And that was my lead around. You know, it is the 4th of July, and my hats go off to all the veterans out there, you know, and I can't say enough. You know, it's because of what they do and other previous people that have served why we're here and enjoying and celebrating the freedoms and that we do have. You know, you hear a lot of folks disgruntled and everything else about, you know, everything else, the way things happen, you know, it could be better. But you know what? When it comes down to the bottom line, we got a lot of nice freedoms, and, you know, we can do a program like this and enjoy and have, you know, a lot more than a lot of other countries.
Yeah.
My wife and I have been doing stuff with the War of 1812.
It's over, you know.
Yeah, I know. They had a reenactment down at Genesee Country Museum that we missed. It was last weekend. And
not enough days.
Right. A lot of people call that the Forgotten War. You know, 25, 30 years after the Revolutionary War, we had to fight the British again. But there was actually an interesting story. There's a show on History Channel called How the States Got Their Shapes. And they did a thing about the northern border, you know, between the U.S. And the British, you know, Commonwealth still at the time. And they talked about this Fort Blunder in New York that the New York colonists, state by then, accidentally built it in Canada. it's across the line in Canada.
Nice.
Oops.
So and this is where?
It's in Lake Champlain, but
in the charming town of Plattsburgh on scenic Lake Champlain.
Near Rouse Point. The actual name is Fort Montgomery, but it's been nicknamed Fort Blunder because it was in Canada.
And is it still?
I think they actually gave up the island. And
well, that was nice of them, actually. Yeah. Don't forget, give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. That's 585-966-5299. Or toll-free 1-800-790-0415 or 1-800-79-00415. And we will be here to take your questions.
Yeah.
I just got another email from one of the Google Plus team. Reminding me that I should
tell us a little bit about Plus.
Well, it's essentially their you know the easy and facile way because we're news people and reporters and we don't stop and think. But the easy and facile way to say is it's the Facebook killer, right? It's a social network.
Okay, it's Google's really version of Facebook.
It's a Google. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a Google social network. I'm pretty sure they would prefer we did not call it the Google version of Facebook.
Google Book.
Google.
Face
Google.
Plus?
Face
no.
Google.
No, FaceTime.
Google.
That's Apple.
And it's it does much of the same sort of thing other social networks, Facebook, do. But what one of the different things that about it is the circles. You can create circles of people. You can have circles of people. And one of the nice things about that is I can put people in different circles. So, for example, I can have a soundbite circle. And anything I post, I can say, send it only to the soundbite circle. Nobody else will ever see it.
Oh, cool.
I can also set things, and here's the best part for me. You could always repost something, right? You could always share it yourself and make it public.
Mm-hmm.
I can set anything I send you to be not shareable.
Oh, so in other words...
You can always screen scrape or take a screen picture.
Yeah.
Right.
But, I mean, you've got a little more control over it.
You've got a lot more control over it. It's really very nicely done. I was very impressed by that feature alone. So, you know, I can have one for family, and I can post all kinds of pictures and stuff that I don't want the rest of the world to see. My family will see it, and no one else can. So I really like that part. I'll tell you more about it later, but let's go to the phones right now. Our first caller is Maxine from beautiful scenic Greece, New York.
I welcomed her to the U.S.
You people are having a little trouble with your money over there in Greece. Oh, no, it's a different Greece. What can we do for you, Maxine?
Both my boys are running Ubuntu 11.4 on their computers, and our wireless printer won't work with them. So I'm trying to find a new printer that's compatible with the Ubuntu. Is there a list I can find?
Oh, yes. Yes, there is.
I've been Googling all over the place. I can't find one.
The first trick is spelling Ubuntu.
Right. There is a Ubuntu printer compatibility. There's a wiki.ubuntu.com. And there's a hardware support components printers list.
The one I found is at help.ubuntu.com/community/printers.
This one may be more accurate. What do you think? Post them both. And what Steve will do is post them both online at soundbites.org. Go to the links tab, and you'll see links talked about on the show. And are you there?
Yep, I'm there.
Okay. And you'll be able to get those and check them out for your printer and see which one is the best for you. And what's nice is as you go through the list, it actually takes you to a separate page. So if you like, for example, you like Epson printers, or you like HP printers, or you like Lexmark printers, you can go to a page that's just about those.
Okay.
And see which, what they're, you know, and you're going to do some research of what the features are and blah, 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 blah. But the basic point is it'll tell you which ones work well or badly. I do know that I've really never had a problem with an HP printer, but I haven't done anything wireless, so right. I get that that's a little different. So
the one I'm using right now is a Brother, and it's only a year old. So
and which Brother printer is it?
The MSC 490CW. MSC multifunction.
490CW. Yeah, see, that one's not listed.
Right.
The 2070N is.
Yeah, a bunch of them are listed. The 5840CN, the
right. So I'm thinking about going back to HP, which is what I had before the Brother.
Yeah. Brother makes nice printers, but if there's no specific driver for that...
make nice printers, but they don't hold paper worth peanuts.
Well, yeah. At any rate, that's the list for you, and it'll tell you what all the models are and... Yep. And where you can get the driver and yada, yada.
That's what I needed.
There you go.
Thank you much.
Sure.
Now, we like the Brothers at our shop. We sell a lot of them over the HP because they're generally cheaper than the HP, and generally consumables are cheaper than the HP. And the Brothers been around just as long as HP. They just used to make fax machines, which is a printer.
Right.
And then they decided to put a computer jack on it instead of just
That's really the main difference, isn't it? Yeah.
I am still using to this day an Epson FX80.
Wow.
A literal FX80, not FX80 emulated?
No. You're right. A regular, because our invoices are printed on a dot matrix printer.
I'll tell you what, those.
And that thing still goes to this day.
They don't die.
No.
They do not die.
That is back from, 1990.
Yep. They are great printers. Epson made great printers. I don't know so much today. I haven't used one in a long time, but certainly back then. Great printers.
I thought Cups and Gutenprint solved a lot of these Unix-based printing issues. Or is it just different? Is Linux just different enough that it doesn't work? Because that's a big thing in the Mac world, is all these third-party drivers written by the Unix community work with the Unix underpinning of Mac.
Right. No, they do. They do. I don't. But if you don't have the right compatibility mode, or some printers just don't have drivers.
Yep.
You know, Ubuntu is like every other computer manufacturer. And for a lot of it, they rely on the manufacturers to create the drivers.
Yep.
And if the manufacturer decides that this particular model is not going to sell well under Linux, they're not going to bother to make a driver for it. You know, that's not Ubuntu's fault. Just equally, it's not Microsoft's fault, or it's not Apple's fault.
Yep.
You know,
I see somebody's phone is. Now, that's the sound I always hear with an iPhone. Is that just any phone?
What are you hearing?
I was hearing the clipping in the background of a phone. No.
It's probably not me.
Mine's off.
That's probably
completely off. Somewhere. No, it's, I hear that on iPods all the time. And
mine's in sleep mode.
No, mine's not. I got no service. So
no service. Yeah, I hear that all the time on podcasts, and they always say, "Oh, someone's got their iPhone on. It's a cell phone checking its network." And it's just
God
little,
love you if you heard it.
Oh, yeah, you're too deaf. It's a little the high pitch. Yeah. Let me. I'll mark the recording and pull it out.
That's
But I was on the Gutenprint website. They've got 12 different Brother drivers for 6,000, 8,000, and 9,000 series, but I didn't see one for that. She said 410, 400 series.
Yeah, so that is too bad. That is too bad. Yeah. Anyway, about a little more about Google Plus. Lots of people are getting on it. It's very cool. But one of the things, like I said, that I can do is I can go to circles. So I have people, and then in there I also have my circles, and it's very, very nifty, actually, very nifty.
So it's just another avenue for chat roulette?
Not really. But see, I can have multiple circles. So I've got one for each of the things that I do, and I could make one for sound bites very easily just by dragging you guys into sound bites. And it pulls people off of my various lists. People who are already in my circles. People who've added me that maybe I haven't added them yet. And I can find other people and invite them, although the invites don't seem to be on at the moment.
Yeah, Google had a huge, over-anticipated invitation request, and they had to shut down accepting invitation. They had to shut down issuing invitations. So even if you have an invitation now, you still can't get in because it's just too busy.
Yeah.
You know Scoble?
Yeah.
Or did you just follow him? Everybody follows Scoble, right?
I actually.
Isn't he the one with 10 million followers or something?
Yeah. All right, we are going to take a quick break. Don't forget, give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 25 minutes after the hour. And you're spending the afternoon with sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Now doing a Thursday night show. I've officially took over Thursday nights. And, in fact, if you folks don't realize it, as of Tuesday, the lineup is changing all the way around for the folks that you're going to listen to throughout the week. Everybody, Jan and Rob's now going to be added, and they're shuffling everywhere.
You're going to make Rob work?
Yeah, yes. Rob's doing work? Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Well, no. It wasn't that he wanted to work.
Oh, we're making him work.
I wanted some air time, so we had to slip him in. So, you know, he's moving everybody around. Linda's switching to a new time, as is Joelle and Eric and Jan. You know, the evening folks are going to stay the same, but Rob is now going to be doing from 4 to 6. And we're also in the midst, you know, of implementing some new software, which I won't go into right now. But I was explaining something to Linda, and she was teaching me a little more. As I start to do more and more of, you know, the Thursday nights, I'm learning the proper way that some things should be run. And it's, you know, learn as you go. I'll admit it. And, you know, a lot of folks have been really gracious in suggesting various artists because I do get to pick some songs.
Congratulations.
From time to time. And, you know, I encourage
you. You're playing all that acid rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I get folks to be calling me and suggesting this artist or that artist, and I've been able to slide them in at different points when I can. Because it is member-supported Jazz 90.1.
That's exactly right.
So, you know, and I'm learning, and the folks here have been just great and helped me get over some bumps that I'll admit I'm making.
Everybody would when they're
yeah,
new.
What the heck? But thank you for...
And that's just to say that for this one time, it wasn't his phone.
All right. Thank you.
A new malware
and
package.
And my phone.
Yeah, I know. A new malware package is running wild on the internet. According to Kaspersky Labs and its creators, are attempting to create an indestructible herd of zombified machines. The botnet has been dubbed TDL4, which Kaspersky describes as the most sophisticated threat today. The creators use the same methods as legitimate web-based businesses to spread. They pay affiliates to install the malware. Pay attention. They pay people to install the malware. TDL4 protects itself from detection, wipes out the competition, loads a lot of other malware packages into victims' computers, and leverages the CAD open source public peer-to-peer network to essentially make itself super resilient. Luckily, the Hitman Pro product from Dutch software publisher Surfright removes the TDSS rootkit, the malware survival, according to the malware survival website.
Is that a legitimate site, I imagine?
Yes, yes, it is, yes. TDL4 is a boot kit, meaning that it infects a computer's master boot record.
Surfright?
Surfright.
Oh.
Not Surfright.
I like Surfright better.
Yeah, I know. TDL4 is a boot kit, meaning it infects a computer's master boot record, thus ensuring it will run before the operating system starts. This ensures a longer malware lifecycle and makes it less visible to most security software. TDL4 uses encrypted network connections to ensure the botnet runs smoothly and protect it from network traffic analysis and other botnets. Like any predator, TDL4 wipes out competitors to ensure it has exclusive rights to its prey. It can wipe out about 20 other malware packages. TDL4 delivers about 30 additional malware packages of its own when it infects a PC. Surfright released an update to Hitman Pro version 3.5.9 to specifically fight rootkits such as TDL4 earlier in June. This followed the emergence of highly advanced rootkits such as MebRoot, Cinewall, and TDL4, who were trying to defeat detection by Hitman Pro. The update collects hard disk miniport driver information from clean computers and stores a fingerprint of this information in the cloud. When Hitman Pro 3.5.9 detects a rootkit hook on a computer's hard disk driver, it consults the cloud on how to work around it, which is pretty cool because the cloud can't be, theoretically at least, can't be corrupted. Hitman Pro 3.5.9 also protects the master boot record when restoring MBRs to counter rootkit watchdogs, according to the company. So you're worried you might have caught a bootkit? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free 1-800-790-0415. You can go to our website at soundbites.org and take a look at the link. Steve has put up the link that for Surfright for Hitman Pro. So check that out, and you'll see what's up there. And give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ.
This is a talk show, Dave.
5298. Dave gave me this look like he wanted to say something. He had this bright-eyed, bushy-tailed look on his face.
He's getting his music.
And then just stood there smiling.
He's getting his music ready for the next bump.
Something was going on great in his head, but we couldn't be privy to it. I don't know what that was about. Okay.
Not until the next bump.
Not until next bump.
All right. So, yeah, that's the malware stuff is getting more and more sophisticated as time goes on, and it's becoming more and more likely that even the security tango isn't going to take out a lot of the new stuff. You've got to run products like Hitman Pro, which will actually check hooks into that. Now, other products are going to catch up, but that actually check for hooks into the master boot record and have a way to clean them without messing things up and without being caught by the malware that's running in the background.
No, but going back to what you were saying about what's going on in my mind is I'm thinking because I've learned more about how to run the board and do other things. So now I can do up my own CDs of bumps.
Excellent.
For different songs that we like.
Excellent.
Slide them in there and play them whatever we like and sound effects, like I say.
Very nice.
But malware's getting sneakier and sneakier.
Yeah,
and people being paid to insert it. We've been seeing that for quite a while on the forums at both Cider and Soundbites. People join, they get past all of the robot protection and entering
because
captions
because
they are real people, and they post their advertisement and then disappear.
And then
getting paid to do more and more bad things. Actually, something really bad happened this week, and to me, sort of on that line. World of Warcraft is now free.
I know.
For the first 20 levels. I'm up to level 2 because I downloaded it this morning. But I was reading through the history of it
a little bit. Well, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. There won't be going anywhere for the 4th of July.
I'm not paying the $15 a month. So I'll go up to level 20 and just...
And then create a new character and start all over again.
I was reading some of the history, and there was an incident in the world of Warcraft.
Of Warcraft.
A couple of years ago, there was this disease that they introduced in this one town, and people caught the disease, and then you could get the disease by having your avatar getting close to someone else's avatar. And it ballooned in an epidemic proportion, and infected the entire island and was in danger of basically shutting down the whole world of Warcraft until they fixed it to the other end. And so they're saying that epidemiologists from CDC and other organizations are looking at the spread of this to see how they can map real-world applications. You know, there's 11 million people playing World of Warcraft. You know, that's bigger than the biggest cities.
Yep.
And it's really interesting to see how fast diseases can spread.
Going back to malware and that, there is one out there right now that we've been dealing with. It's a rootkit, and it is very dangerous. I don't know of any other way to get around it right now, and it's been causing major issues. And basically what it does, it hides everything. Hides all your programs, all your folders, everything.
Wow.
And it is a major pain in the butt to undo. I mean, there's a couple programs that we've been using to get some of it off, but you know, like anything else, the minute we got something that was working halfway decent, these clowns turned around and made it more insidious that now we can't even get a lot of stuff back, that we have to pull the hard drive out, grab what data we can, wipe the machine, the hard drive clean, and put it back on fresh. And folks say, well, what would it take to, just put it, correct everything? Because you have to go into each folder and each program to unhide this stuff. And you're talking about hours, literally hours, because everything, literally everything on the computer has to be reset.
Yep.
And it, so we just tell folks, and I, don't shoot the messenger, and
you're right. And it's not your fault they got infected.
And, the other thing is, I'm trying to come up with the best way, to help you folks, get around this and everything else and the best solution. And again, I know it's not the, convenient or anything else, but, and you're probably not going anywhere that you shouldn't be. I mean, you could be getting infected from friends, sending emails and everything else from your other friends or some of these other emails that I tell folks constantly. I can't express it enough. If you look at an email and you have to hesitate for one second, whether you should click that open, delete it.
It's the people that don't hesitate. They just click it.
Yes, they are click happy.
You people are not stupid. You're smart people. And if you were walking down our audience, yeah. And if you were walking down the street and somebody made the offer to you, you often get an email, you'd run in the other direction.
Yeah.
And yet people just quietly click on it.
I've seen some of the hidden camera shows and John Stossel on security and they did an experiment where they bought a fake ATM. Well, they bought a real ATM and just set it in the street.
Yep.
And people walked up to it, stuck their card in, typed their PIN. Nothing happened, so they left. While the little cameras there watched them type their PIN, kept their
captured
card.
Captured everything.
So then the bad guys, in this case the TV crew watching it, could go over, pull your card out, go to a real ATM. And so then they stopped the person on the street. Why did you do that? Well, I needed some cash.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that machine? No. Do you know that bank? No. Did you know the name on it? No. Why'd you do it? I needed some cash.
I actually passed an ATM once that had emblazoned across the top, ATM machine.
Duh.
That's all it said.
Yep.
It didn't have a bank name. It didn't have card types that it would take. It just said ATM machine. And I thought, really?
Automated teller machine.
Yeah, well, yes. But my point is, how do you even know who that's from, what it's about? It's just, it was...
Not even in a store, just sitting on the street.
Exactly. All right, well, not in the street. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour, and for no discernible reason, you continue to be listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. I apologize. I didn't have my headphones on.
No biggie.
Start over.
That's all right. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we're the very professional Soundbites.
It's the weekend.
You know what? That's the beauty about live radio. We can do it again next week. All right, a ruling on Eastman Kodak's patent case. This is very important to those of us living in Rochester. A ruling on East, for the rest of you probably don't even know what we're talking about. A ruling on Eastman Kodak's patent case against Apple and Research in Motion may be delayed until August after the U.S. International Trade Commission, or ITC, sent the issue back to a judge who had earlier ruled against Kodak. The patented issue relates to camera phone image previews. The ITC said on Thursday that it had decided to affirm in part, reverse in part, and remand in part the final initial determination. That's got to be law speak.
Yeah.
Issued by the presiding administrative law judge on January 24th. In the initial determination, the judge said the Kodak's patent claim against Apple and RIM concerning camera phone image previews was invalid. The ITC said it modified some of the judge's claim constructions, and as a result, the judge and respondent should have the opportunity to revisit invalidity. The suit, which claims to block Apple and RIM from importing iPhone and BlackBerry phone, wouldn't that be just amazing if Kodak actually got an injunction that prevented Apple and RIM from importing their phones anymore? That would just be astonishing.
Kodak has the patents, and that's what they're claiming. They created the first digital camera 20 years ago now, 30 years ago almost.
Right. It alleges that Apple and RIM infringed its patents with a feature that allows image previews on their phones. The ITC agreed to investigate the claim in February last year. On March 25th of this year, ITC decided to review the initial determination by the administrative law judge in its entirety. The target date of the investigation was postponed from May 23rd to June 30th and later to June 23rd and later to June 30th. The new target date for decision on the issue is August 30th. Kodak said on Thursday it was gratified that the commission had decided to modify in our favor the judge's initial recommendation. The company said it also had federal court actions pending against RIM and Apple in the Northern District of Texas and in the Western District of New York, that would be us, where the same issue and additional infringement claims will be adjudicated. Kodak is proceeding with these actions with the Texas case scheduled to begin on August 1st. So our question to you, would you rather have Kodak make a few billion or have an iPhone? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free, 1-800-790-0415, just like Victor did in Irondequoit. Welcome, Victor. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Last week, Dave said he was going to test Firefox 5. I don't know if you discussed it already. I just got in. But if you didn't, what was the outcome?
So far, I'm liking what I'm seeing. You know, it's been very stable. Matter of fact, it's been able to correct a couple of other issues that I was having with one client's machine. Like I was telling you, I was doing some restore and some of the features. So I was able to go through 5 for, maybe an hour or so. And initially, I would say I like it.
Okay.
Now, the thing of it is, though, is you got to get you with version 5 going from 3. You know, they sort of changed the whole interface to look like Chrome, but if you still wanted the toolbars and all that stuff across the top, you still couldn't customize it and put those up there. You just got to do a little digging around. So if you wanted, you know, certain icons, you know, like the printer and all that other stuff and other stuff up there, you can fully customize it to take it back and look like the older versions of Firefox. So all in all, 1.5 has been very stable so far. Hasn't had many issues going with other programs, as does right now. I've had a number of clients with Internet Explorer 9 having to roll back to 8 because a lot of programs, like QuickBooks and that, won't work with 9. So, but right now, Firefox 5, I'd say 2 thumbs up.
Dave, I had a problem with 4 before.
Everybody did.
Yeah, it wouldn't print. I couldn't print. I ended up having to go back to Firefox 3.
Some of that was fixed with Firefox 4.0.1.
Yeah, but right now it seems 5, like I say, they addressed a lot of issues. That's why you don't even hear them talk about 4. Because
the big problem, and a lot of corporations are really upset about this, is that Firefox, Mozilla has officially abandoned Firefox 4. And corporations were just getting around to installing Firefox 4 because Firefox 3.5 is getting old now.
Mm-hmm.
And Mozilla is saying that every 2 months they're going to come out with a major release of Firefox. And that's
I think that's a little ambitious.
Right. Well, see, they shouldn't come out with, you know, every 2 months, maybe 4.01, 4.02, 4.03, maybe.
Yeah.
But don't
minor upgrades. Yeah. You know,
what I think they're looking at is Chrome. Which silently updates itself all the time. I'm running version 12, and I think I installed version 1, you know, 6 months ago. So Chrome keeps updating itself in the background. You never notice it's happening. It just does it. And you never really know what version you're running. But they have these big major upgrades that don't seem to make any changes.
Yeah.
When Firefox does a big major upgrade, it changes dramatically and everything quits working.
Like I said, it's going to take a little getting used to. You know, if you like me, I like some of my interfaces in the bar, you know, the tools in that across the top, a certain way. It's just me. You know, it's 62 years old. I like things I've grown accustomed to in a certain place, and that's where I like them. And at least they gave you the feature to still put that stuff back, and yet you're still gaining a lot of the newer stuff that's in version 5.
Well, Dave, can you go back to Firefox 3 if you don't like the 5?
You can always...
Well, not if you still have an installer lying around.
Yes.
Mozilla has been making it tricky to find the old installers if you want to go back.
Yeah, but you can go to old versions, yeah. I think, .com.
There's old version and old versions.
Yeah, looking for old versions of various programs.
Thank you very much. The big issue with going back to too old a version, 3.6.18 is still supported by Mozilla.
Yeah, that's what I'm running.
The older versions require newer and newer OSs. I have a lot of people running old operating systems, and they can't even go to version 3.
Right.
So they're stuck with whatever bugs are left, whatever security holes are left, and that's the danger of going back to the older versions.
Yep. I personally have been using nothing but Chrome, and I've been very, very pleased with it. But I guess I've drunk the Google Kool-Aid, you know?
I've got Chrome on there on my desktop, too.
It's everything Firefox was when it came out. It's lean, it's light, it launches fast, it runs fast, it doesn't have a lot of crap in it. But the advantage of Firefox, it's got all those plugins you can add to make cool things happen. Right. But then
there's a lot of plugins that you can add to Chrome. That's being added
to Chrome, and a lot of those same plugins are now available. So we're waiting to see
the one thing I didn't have as a developer that I really liked about Firefox was Firebug, but there's now a version for Chrome too. So I'm happier about that.
Well, Fire Sheep is better than Firebug, and no.
Well, it is. It depends. But I mean, there was a version, a similar product.
Yeah.
Yeah. To that. So, yeah, I don't know. What's interesting is we did we were looking at all the various who comes to our website at work, and there's a whole bunch of people for some reason using RockMelt, which is apparently a browser on the iPhone. It's a mobile browser.
Really?
I personally never heard of it.
Your browser reimagined.
Yeah.
RockMelt.com.
I had never heard of it, but apparently there it is, RockMelt. I haven't downloaded and played with it yet, but it looks like a
desktop version and a Mac version, Windows version, and iPhone version.
Yep. Looks like a pretty neat little toy. I have not played with it yet, but it looked pretty cool. And it does not appear to be available for... It's Mac and Windows and iPhone only, right?
It looks like it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Android eventually.
But it was really kind of neat to be looking through the list and go, yeah, yeah, Chrome, yeah, yeah, Google, Firefox, yeah, Internet Explorer, yeah, Safari
and
was
how,
there.
Yeah, and how many people are using
0.8%, but that's a...
Right, well, for it to show up.
Exactly, yeah, it was in the top 10.
Yeah.
It was, you know, the vast majority are either on Firefox, Internet Explorer, Chrome. That's about 90% of our users.
What's your feeling on Bing?
I am not a huge fan. Many people are, and they're getting better every day. Microsoft, we all know Microsoft.
They drink them the Kool-Aid?
They lose, but they just don't stop, and then eventually they win.
I just was reading something about that, the comparing Apple and Microsoft. Microsoft can win on the fourth try.
Mm-hmm.
Apple has to win on the first try.
And that's true of everybody
Jobs,
else.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Well, that's Steve Jobs.
Microsoft has enough money and enough clout to get it wrong three or four times before it actually comes out.
Yep. And Bing is getting better and better every day. In fact, there are some things that I have friends who do search engine stuff for a living, and they find that for some things, Bing is better.
I like
just
Bing
so
Maps.
Folks know, Bing is an, in case folks haven't discovered it, Bing is just another search engine like Yahoo and Google and those type of things. Just so,
but it's from Microsoft. Folks,
it's from Microsoft. Yeah, but it's from again Microsoft.
I kind of like Bing Maps a little better because they have aerial photography, and Google stops at satellite. So from they go from satellite to street, and Bing has aerial in the middle. There.
Right. Well, again, they bought the Teradata
Fairport company here. Yeah.
So they would put those in. That makes sense to me. But yeah, Bing is a pretty good product. I cannot deny that it's a good product.
Okay, I haven't
played
with them much.
They had a vampire commercial too, so yeah.
So it's got to be good.
They're topical.
Yeah, was it sparkly?
No, but he had teeth that folded down. It was the True Blood vampires.
Oh, okay. yet another show I do not watch.
He watches too much TV.
Anna Paquin naked. You have to watch it. Actually, there was a quote that came out the other day. Her husband, Stephen Moyer, is the another vampire.
Is this a story you should be telling on television?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Okay. So this.
Get ready on that button.
Dump's ready.
True Blood is a vampire series on HBO. It's an interesting concept. The vampires have come to public, and they live like normal people because someone synthesized this drink called True Blood, which is all of the nutrition that vampires need without actually killing people. And Stephen Moyer plays the lead vampire. And Anna Paquin is the lead female lead. And they eventually got married in real life after getting together on the show. And there was a quote from Stephen Moyer in one of the celebrity tabloid magazines where wherever they go places, he's asked to sign body parts. And his wife Anna Paquin lets him nibble on body parts as he signs them.
Oh.
And it's okay with his wife, and so
whatever works.
Every guy, every married
I'm
guy.
I'm sure you're talking about necks because he's a vampire. Signs their
hands,
signs their necks, or hands, or arms.
Yep.
I'm sure, exactly. Yep.
So every guy on the net is posting that
or toes
to their wife. Right. Look, it's okay. Wife says it's okay.
Yeah,
foot fetish.
So yeah, but the deal here is that I don't watch television. No, I do. I watch a lot of television. I just don't watch.
It's one of
my
those
wife
shows.
Loves the book. Those are the Sookie Stackhouse books.
Yeah, right?
My wife loves the books. Absolutely loves the books and hates the television series.
Really?
So just it's not true to the books. Apparently, I don't know what that means.
Pretty
I
popular
during the summer months. Shows, I watch very little.
I don't want to subscribe to HBO and pay $30 a month.
Why?
To watch this one show. And then we really like Dexter on Showtime, but I don't want to subscribe to Showtime, so we have to wait till the end of the season and buy the DVDs.
And now we all have to subscribe to what you call it, because Torchwood's coming back.
Stars. We got to get Stars to get Torchwood, or wait till the end of the season and
get it on Netflix.
Get it on DVD.
Right? Or we've got a friend that has every cable channel known and many unknown, and he's got 5 DVRs and. He makes copies for us all.
Don't say. We're on the.
It's public.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
He's making copies from the stuff he recorded so that we can go to his house and watch it. But there's less.
That's also illegal.
There's less than 10 people. Okay. So it's not public.
If it's fewer than 10 people, you're all right.
Yes. He's safe there and he's not.
Cheese and crackers. Yeah, just get yourself and your friends into more and more trouble, won't you? You guys, I don't know what this is.
You got to wait till the end of the season
like
and buy the DVDs.
You're like the Facebook of radio. Just say anything you want and everybody hears it.
You think?
I think.
Oh, okay.
Everybody hears what they want to hear.
I mean, it's just not us three?
You need to be more Google Plus and find a circle and just talk to that circle and not put it out into the public.
I told you I signed up for Facebook and people won't friend me.
Friend to join Facebook.
Yeah. So did I.
People I signed up to be friends with wouldn't.
Well, that's I can't help you there.
He's having an identity crisis.
There's a South Park episode where there was this kid in school that only had one friend. And no, he had zero friends. And one of the boys friended him and became the ridicule of the school. Because you friended the guy with no friends.
Yeah, right.
So the whole episode was the moral dilemma of unfriending him because he was being a social outcast.
Right. Unlike MySpace, which when you joined MySpace, was it MySpace? Tom immediately became your friend?
Yeah. It just got sold. Yep. Is that in your news?
No, I didn't bother. Who cares about MySpace anymore? They sold for like $35 million. Excuse me?
After being bought for $1 billion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. $100 million. They were bought for $100 million. And then X number of years later.
$1 billion, wasn't it?
Maybe. Maybe it was. Yeah. Maybe it was $1 billion. And then they got sold for like $35 million. And it's kind of like, who's even on MySpace anymore? It's like the Hotmail of social media. Who cares anymore? Sorry for all of those of you who are still on Hotmail. I don't mean to disparage your 1980s email package. sorry, that was rude. But yeah, so MySpace just got sold, and so they're not they're who knows what's going to happen to them now? Who knows what's going to happen to them? Facebook has a an announcement later this coming week. Well, this next week, Saturday being the end of the week, I guess this coming week. They said we're announcing awesomeness. I don't know what that means, but it certainly must mean something, and so we'll probably be reporting on that next week. In the meantime, nice music. That music tells me that we are done for our first hour here. But luckily, those of you who have absolutely nothing to do in the real world, we have another hour for you to completely waste listening to Dave Enright, to Steve Ray, and to me, Nick Francesco. You are indeed wasting your Saturday afternoon. It is beautiful out there. Wasting your Saturday afternoon listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, and you are listening to us on the truly great,
member-supported
Jazz 90.1. So support your station, support your Soundbites crew, and support your socks. By listening to the next hour, we'll be right back after these very important messages.
Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Don't forget, give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Apple has attempted to dial down the flack it's received since the release of its latest movie editing application, Final Cut Pro 10. I'm assuming that's 10, not X. By publishing an FAQ, a Frequently Asked Questions, that addresses some of the editing world's edgier criticisms. Meanwhile, professional film editors, angered by Apple's recently released Final Cut Pro 10 video editing software, are flocking to sign a petition asking for Apple to relabel the app and extend support for previous movie editing software. Apple last week announced the release of the $299, or as we think of it, $300, video editing application on its Mac App Store. However, many film industry professionals label the release a prosumer product and have heated up the Final Cut Pro 10 support forum by their remarks. The imbroglio led Apple to post an FAQ to address issues brought on by the users. However, this apparently didn't cool things down completely. Andrew Landini, who's been a professional film editor for about 10 years, posted a petition titled Final Cut Pro 10 is not a professional application on the web. The document was posted before the FAQ, and Landini continues to collect signatures. He posted a draft of the document on an Apple support forum and made amendments based on input from forum members before posting the final version in the forum. It's currently hosted on the site petitiononline.com. The petition has since been taken down by Apple's website, and if you post a link from Petition Online to the forum, they'll remove it, Landini stated. So our question to you, have you used Final Cut Pro? What do you think? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or of course, toll-free at 1-800-790-0415, just like Joe did from Rochester, New York. Hello, Joe. What do you know?
Hello. How are you?
Peachy. How are you?
Not too bad. I've got a when Dave was talking about the virus or Trojan that hid everything, I encountered that on a couple of computers I was working on.
Yep.
And once I got rid of the virus, the way I fixed all that, and I started going through everything one at a time like he was doing.
Yeah.
So what I did, I went into the folder options under the view, unhid all the system files and everything. I went to the document and setting folder and hid the whole folder. Subfolders, files, everything. Then when it was done, I unhid everything, went back to the folder options, and then rehid all the Windows folders
mm-hmm.
and files. Because Windows knows what has to be hidden.
Yeah.
And that fixed it.
Huh. So I brought everything as far as even the, because what the one that I was dealing with is even if you would click on start and you go to programs.
Right.
Nothing was there.
Right. That's because the all users, well, I'm talking about XP now, the all users folders needs to be hidden and then unhidden.
Oh, so you do that right from the top level and say do everything below it as well.
Right, right.
So it unhides everything below it that needs to be
unhidden. And then you have to just go back in and rehide the Windows folder.
And then, right, and then you're right. Then you go back into folder options and then hide all the system files that Windows already knows about.
Right, right, hey, the Windows system
stuff. Hey, Joe, would you,
elegant solution.
Yeah. Joe, would you do me a favor?
Sure.
Would you write that down and just email it to me?
You got it.
I'd be grateful.
Post it in our forums.
Yeah, if you would, just put it at dave@nwritepc.com.
Okay, gotcha.
I'd appreciate it, sir, and I will put you up there as get credit when we get it up on the board.
Great, thanks, Dave.
No, thank you, sir. You know, that's what this is all about. You know,
bye.
Thank you again. You know, that's like we've said. You know, I don't always have all the answers in that, but you know, it's us all sharing information that makes this show great.
Yep.
You know, and we share, and like I say, we do our best, but I can't know it all. And everybody else getting some chances to play with this or play with that, who knows?
Yeah, it's really the best part about this show. So feel free to call up and tell us where we went wrong. I mean, give us some new information or in fact, tell us where we went wrong or whatever it takes.
It's getting to be the easiest way to clean your computer viruses is to erase it and start over.
Yeah, that is kind of overkill, though.
Yeah.
That is overkill.
Because if you're doing it yourself, you may not mind spending 5-10 hours, you know, weeding through it and deleting stuff. But if you're paying someone else to do it, you often want to go fast rather than expensive.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on what you're... And, of course, if you've got backups...
So have a backup now.
Yeah, today would be a really good day to do a backup.
We should start doing that. Every Sunday, remind you, do your backup while you're listening to the show.
That would be Saturday.
Well, they'll listen to it on Sunday when they get the podcast.
Oh, yeah, there you go. All right, all right. But, yeah, backup now while you're thinking about it. While we go to the phones and talk to Jim from New Hampshire. Where in New Hampshire, Jim?
Nashua.
All right, and what can we do for you?
I got a little information for you guys. I was on a website called worldnewspapers.com. There's a gap in between world and newspapers. It's been out for a long time. I was on a foreign newspaper, and I got this pop-up saying my computer was infected.
yeah, that's
you think?
Well, hold on a minute now. So, okay, I cleared out of it, shut down, I ran my vast antivirus, ran Malwarebytes, SuperNAS, Spyware, SpyBot, even ran Stinger. Stinger has a new one out now, too, in case you're wondering.
Yep.
That didn't get rid of it, because I got blue screens. I thought I'd try something else. I ran CCleaner and for the registry, and I got a couple other registry cleaners. And somewhere in was either unused or invalid registry entry. Once that was gone, I had no more problems.
Nice. Interesting.
So you
cleaned out the registry, and that fixed the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you run on the registry? Just a CCleaner?
You ran several products at once.
Cleaner,
okay.
Mm-hmm. Little registry cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
And
one of those did the job.
And another one.
Cool.
One of the three got it.
Good.
You know, and we're
continue
to find that over and over and over again. The registry is very delicate. And if anybody puts anything in, and of course, every single program loads up the registry with a massive amount of junk. And if any one person gets any one piece of it wrong, you are doomed.
And I will not tell anybody how to do registry cleaning programs.
No,
because
there's nothing more
if you mess it up, I don't want to be responsible.
You can very easily.
That's why I use registry cleaner.
Yeah.
A lot easier that way.
Yes.
Great tip, Jim.
I need like three of them plus C cleaner to get all of them, you know.
Yep.
One goes through it one way, one goes through another way. It goes about four different ways, and that way I get everything.
Perfect. Great tip. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you very much. Have a good fourth. Be safe.
Yeah.
Out there in Nashua, New Hampshire. I believe they celebrate the 4th of July in New Hampshire, don't they? It's far enough away from us.
Happy Canada Day to our friends in the north.
To our friends in the north, exactly right. Here's a pop quiz. Do they have 4th of July in Canada? Yes, but they don't celebrate it.
All right, it's called Canada.
Because their holiday is July 1st.
Right.
Yeah, Canada Day.
That's July 1st. Canada
Day, yeah. Formerly Dominion Day.
Mm-hmm. Right. Our next caller is Peter from Penfield.
Hey, guys. Another great show. I tuned in a little bit late today, but...
That's okay. So did Dave.
Okay. I was going to comment about the Final Cut Pro.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
I've used it for about a year, Final Cut Pro 7. And I've been reading about the Final Cut Pro X. I haven't used it myself, but some of the amazing things is if somebody has got their projects and they've got just a slew of projects they did in Final Cut Pro 7, they can't open them in Final Cut Pro X.
Yeah, Apple released a fact to describe some of those differences, and the one thing they said is that the internal file structure of Final Cut Pro X is so different, they can't read the old files. They say they're going to be working on an import filter, but until then, you can keep 7 and 10 on the same computer.
Okay.
And their FAQ addresses a lot of that, but what we're seeing is that the very high-end, you know, Hollywood-type video editors that have tried it don't like a lot of the changes, and some of the features that the early reports said are missing are actually there. They've just moved or changed, and you do things a little bit differently. So that's one thing the FAQ points out.
Yeah.
But what's really interesting is that a former developer who worked on Final Cut at Apple from 2002 to 2008 went on to found Posterous, the blogging site, and he put out an interesting opinion that Apple doesn't care.
Yeah.
They don't mind upsetting thousands of professional editors because they're going to get hundreds of thousands of prosumers
that are
going to move up from iPhoto. A lot of people have been jokingly calling it iPhoto Pro. It's an upgrade to iPhoto. It's not an upgrade to Final Cut, which is sort of technically correct.
I think a lot of what you're saying there is, oh, there's a click there. I don't know what that was.
No, you're still here.
Okay. One thing that I was reading is it's kind of like they figured they got the saturation in the market that they possibly can get.
Yeah.
And so now they're kind of ditching it. But it's kind of like there's Final Cut Express, which was the prosumer one.
Yeah, that was the transition between iMovie and Final Cut Pro, and they have since discontinued that.
Exactly. But I mean, there's other things. I haven't gotten into some of the features, but there's like print to tape. Which is a it's an industry wide thing still to go to tape, and
right.
they
well Apple says that's deprecating. We're going, everything's going to be on hard drive, so you know, don't bother with tape anymore.
Yeah, but
see, unfortunately, the industry says no.
Yep.
Well, more and more movies are being shot, and they're shot in digital, and then they're put on film eventually.
Yeah, that's right. But then there's also, I haven't gotten into this part, but in the audio filters, there's an OMF. Output be able to use it in a really high-end audio post-production tools.
Yep, yeah,
and
some of the audio productions.
That is not part of it. And
they have a I'm trying to bring the FAQ up now. There's a plug-in available that does that that audio stuff.
But the problem is, the other thing I was reading, and there was a New York Times guy. I can't think if it's David Pogue, maybe. That's
he issued a rebuttal to his. Original post that got a lot of flack about it. Saying
I'll tell you, I was reading some of that. There's 15 pages of comments on the New York Times site to that David Pogue article.
Mm-hmm.
And I only read like the first two pages. But the thing is, it's like, sure, maybe some of these workarounds are in there, but the real professional editors, especially the guys that are doing commercials and all that, that are kind of like short duration pieces.
Right.
And they've got a client in there. They've got to do stuff fast,
right?
And these workarounds are just kludgy, and they're not fast. Let's put it that way.
And that was one of the things Pogue said in his follow up article, was that he's not a Hollywood type professional video editor, and it's great for him, and he loves it.
Right, but he's a Final Cut Express kind of guy.
Yeah,
and so that's the thing. So now, I mean, the scuttlebutt is basically Adobe Premiere and Avid.
Right.
I guess Avid's got a new license for students. It's like $300-$500 or something.
Yeah, Adobe and Avid are starting big marketing campaigns. They've got sales going on, so you can buy their products at much less than they normally cost.
But the other thing I read on one of the editing sites, I don't know if it was ASC or ACE, it was one of the unions, this guy that's like a friend of a friend of a friend said that people in Cupertino say, if you're on an iProject like iPad, iMovie, iPhone, you're fine. But if you're on one of these other projects, be looking for work.
Well, yeah, Apple is really about whatever they want to be about, and they're not really customer driven.
Yeah,
they expect people to come to them as opposed to them doing what customers want.
They make products you didn't know you needed.
And they can abandon a product at any time.
Incredible!
It may be time for the professional editing community, the professional filmmaking community, to find a product that isn't from Apple to do what they want to do the way they want
to
do
it. And one of the clues to that was the price drop. Final Cut dropped in price from $1,200 to $300.
Yeah.
So now that's a prosumer level tool. It's not a pro tool.
No, it's a consumer level tool. Yeah. Prosumer is a silly word.
A higher end consumer.
It's a portmanteau, I get it, but it's not a good one.
But it's incredible.
Yeah. So Avid is offering a cross grade for a grand. I think Adobe's doing a similar thing. They're offering a cross grade from Final Cut to Premiere. In fact, one of the reasons Final Cut got so big is all the other companies abandoned the Mac platform.
Right.
And for years, Final Cut was the only video editing suite, and that's one of the reasons it got so popular in Hollywood. Is you could spend $100,000 putting together an Avid linear editor, or you could spend $5,000 putting together a Final Cut studio.
Yep. Yep.
And Walter Murch, a huge, well-noted director, wrote this big article, and Apple had him written up on his scene, where he bought four Final Cut studio setups for 50 grand, I think it was. Huh. And he can now do four projects at once instead of having millions of dollars in other traditional equipment.
With Final Cut Pro not, 10.
Right, so a lot of people are sticking with 7 and seeing how that works from now on.
Yeah, but the problem, that's one thing. But the other thing you reminded me of is, there's this new camera out, a RED camera.
Yep.
And it I guess it shoots in RAW files. I'm not 100% sure.
Well, they're extremely high resolution. Typical high definition video cameras today are 1K, and there's some 2K cameras coming out. So some of this RED cameras will shoot at 20K or 50K. It's just ridiculous sizes of files.
But apparently the Final Cut Pro X will not handle the RED camera kind of native format. It converts it to another one?
Well, it converts it to ProRes, which Final Cut works with easier.
Yeah.
But it doesn't handle the RED format natively.
So people are really up in arms about that because, I mean, here they're saying, hey, we're gonna eliminate print to tape, and then they don't really support the RED properly.
Right.
So, all right.
Thanks, Peter. We do have to take a break. We will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour, and we are Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Before we go back to the phones, I should say that Computer Link Magazine has some truly excellent article authors. All right, now on to Gerd from Victor, New York. Welcome, Gerd. What's your question?
Pleasure talking to you guys. You keep talking about backup. Can you do a little tutorial, how, what, where, when? I have a Seagate, but I'm not sure that it works, external. And I'll listen to your answer off the air.
Okay.
Thanks.
There's a couple ways to backup. One is you just make a copy of your files. So you can look at the documents in your documents folder. You can drag them onto a flash drive. You can burn them to CD. And as long as you have a second copy of your stuff, that's good. If your computer fails, gets a virus, has to be erased, or something like that, you have a second copy of your files. It's much easier, however, to use an automatic backup program. Many hard drives, Seagate, Western Digital, some of the other brands, come with a backup program built in when you buy the drive and you install that backup program in your computer. The Macintosh has a backup program built in called Time Machine. And what that does is it automatically, on a scheduled interval, will back up your stuff. So every hour, every day, every week, how often you want to back up. It looks across your entire hard drive, finds all the files that you've changed, and copies them onto that second drive. So you don't have to remember what you've changed lately. These backup programs find them for you. There's some really good free backup programs. We've talked about, the Cobain backup for Windows.
Windows does much the same thing.
Yep. And then there's some commercial programs if you want to do something more sophisticated.
Linux users have rsync that does all of that.
Yep. But basically, you want to have a second copy of your stuff in case your computer fails.
And depending on whether you're a belt and suspenders kind of guy, you might want a third copy that's not in your home.
We talk about the 3-2-1 backup strategy. You should have three copies of all of your stuff on two different media. So if you have a hard drive in one of your backup, then you should have a second media, like an optical drive. The one is an off-site backup.
Cloud.
So you use cloud backup services like Carbonite or Mozy, or you use a hard drive that you take out of your house, take out of your apartment. So in case,
Or get a fire safe.
Right, get a fire safe, but make sure it's a data-rated fire safe.
Yes.
Most fire safes are only rated for papers. Hot enough to get paper to burn is way past the time that hard drives melt.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a catastrophe, fire, flood, tornado, hurricane, anything like that, where your house is destroyed, then that off-site backup gives you a copy of it. There was a story a couple of years ago. Francis Ford Coppola had his house broken into, and they stole his computer and his backup hard drive that was sitting right next to the computer, and he lost 50 years worth of scripts, original Godfather scripts and notes, and he put a plea out on the radio to get his backup drive back. He said, "You can keep the computer, but please give me the backup drive."
And the other thing key folks want to know is don't worry about backing up the program. If you're going to do a reinstall Windows, you're going to have to reinstall the software fresh. Anyways, the only thing you really want to focus on is the data. In other words, any documents, music files, photos. Those are usually the three kings.
And if those are all under your documents folder, then all you have to do is back up the documents folder.
And on the Macintosh, that's the home folder.
Under Windows XP, it is under documents and settings. Under Windows Vista and 7, it is under users.
Yep.
You will see under users, documents and settings, the under users, you will see the various names, and then you select that name because most folks, a lot of families have 3 and 4, identities, and you've got to do it for each one because each one is separate.
Yep. And if you do a backup, that first one is going to take forever.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're doing it right, then the rest of them are not going to take that long at all.
Incremental.
Because it just backs up your changed files.
Right.
Yep.
Okie doke?
Yeah, it should do it. He's gone.
He's gone.
Yeah.
All right.
So you just make sure you have a second copy of all your important stuff. I can't say how many times people have come into the shop and my hard drive has failed and we lost 6 months of the brand new baby pictures and where's your backup? And my wife is going to kill. It's always my wife is going
to
kill me.
Yeah. All right, exactly. I meant to.
Well, and that's just it. Nowadays, all of your pictures are digital.
Yep.
There's no way you can keep the negatives and get new copies made. So make sure you're keeping those things.
Or have a backup, but it's 6 months old. Well, then it's not a backup.
So. All right. Yeah. You can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free 1-800-790-0415. We're going to talk to Victor again from Irondequoit, probably to berate Dave about Firefox 5.
No berating, but I love it. It's pretty much the same. I kept all the toolboxes and everything, and I could print, which Firefox 4 finally corrected, or Firefox 5 corrected, because 4 I could not print. The big thing I notice is some of my add-ons are incompatible.
That always happens with upgrades.
It'll take a while for the add-on companies, because they're not made by
Firefox. Just came out.
They're
5 just came
Mozilla.
Out. Yeah.
So it'll take a while for the add-on makers to upgrade them.
Just be patient.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I just want to let you know I'm in, so I'm going to keep it.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
That was unsolicited testimonial.
Sometimes.
Not only that, he called at 12:50, and now it's 1:29, and he's already downloaded it, installed it, tested it, and discovered he's happy with it.
Yep.
Nice. Nice, real nice. Sorry, you were going to say.
I would say sometimes it's tricky keeping multiple versions of the same program on your hard drive. Yeah. And so I end up keeping, you know, I've got Safari and Firefox and Chrome, but at least on the Mac, it's a little easier to have multiple versions of similar programs. So I can still keep Firefox 3, 4, and 5 to test different things with.
Right. Our next caller is Gil from Webster, New York. Welcome, Gil. What's your question?
Well, I was curious about what you would recommend. I have an iPad, and I run iTunes on Windows XP. And I'm wondering what calendar would be the best choice for compatibility with, you know, iTunes and the iPad.
How's Google with iTunes?
Google Calendar especially. But I think iTunes will sync to Outlook Calendar.
I think you have to have a special additional piece of something.
Well, you have to have Outlook, which you have to pay for.
As opposed to Outlook Express.
Yeah. Which, right, Outlook Express doesn't have a calendar function, but Outlook does.
So
but most people just
Google would be the safest and easiest.
Google, like Google Calendar, yeah.
One nice thing about the Google Calendar is you can set it to send you reminders to your phone or to whatever.
Yep. Yeah, the iPad calendar supports that built-in as well. But a neat thing with the Google Calendar is that, especially for even families, you can have mom, dad, each of the kids have their own separate calendars, and so you can schedule who goes where when and mm-hmm. who has to do what when. And if your wife is at home and schedules, you got to pick the kid up, today, your calendar on your iPad at work will pop up with that appointment on it. So it's a multi-user, multi-syncing calendar. It's a really neat aspect.
That's one thing, like with me now and Dan, we're both set up in Google Calendar, that Sam, we're going to set her up so she can access both of our calendars and just put our appointments there. It'll be synced right to the phone.
Yep.
We don't have to do anything else. Sweet.
Does that make sense, Gil?
Yeah, it certainly does. And one quick second question, if you would take it.
Yeah, go for it.
And the question is, any comments on using an iPad to control music remotely, like your sound system or something of that sort? Any idea what the best products are or ones that you recommend? Or
Apple whatever? Has a program called Remote.
Okay, that's original.
That's original, yeah. Well, they actually have
speaks
two.
Speaks directly to it.
There's Keynote Remote that lets you control your Keynote presentations on your computer, and then there's just Remote that lets you control iTunes.
So I should say again that I run iTunes on an XP machine.
So. Right. Yeah, so you install Remote on your iPad or other iPhone or iPod Touch, and it lets you control your iTunes playing on the computer. So you can
even on XP.
Even on any iTunes, yep. The other music systems like Sonos and Roku have their own applications. So if you have a Sonos system, you can control iTunes that way as well. So you can, as if you were sitting in front of that computer, you can play, you can pause, you can pick albums, you can pick the next song. And
pick your teeth.
Pick your teeth, yeah. With the bigger screen on the iPad, you actually see the entire iTunes interface. Remote on the iPod Touch, it's more limited because of the smaller screen space.
Very good. Thanks, guys. We'll keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Take care.
One of the things, and I've said this before, Apple, for all the controversy with the professional world, Apple really is doing what they can about the home market. Yep. And they seem to be, it used to be they were all about the educational market. Now they're all about the home market. And they kind of want to own that, I believe. It's pretty cool. All right, you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free at 1-800-790-0415, just like Roy did from Pittsford, New York. Roy, what is your question?
Well, my question is, all of a sudden, as most people say, a number of my applications have stopped working. They mainly have to do with streaming data, like Winamp doesn't download music anymore, and the Windows Media doesn't play, and the Firefox won't stream data. And I don't know what happened. I probably changed something and don't realize what I did.
Can you use a web browser to look at web pages?
I can look at web pages, yes. In fact, I'm looking at your web page right now.
So the internet stream, or internet itself, is okay.
Yeah.
You may have accidentally changed the RTSP handler.
Oh,
maybe
boy.
You think, Nick?
I don't even know what that is.
Possible.
There's like a website is HTTP and a file site is FTP.
Yeah.
The RTSP is the real-time streaming protocol. And when programs are streaming audio or video over the internet, they would use the RTSP. And if for example, you have a Microsoft Word file and you tell iTunes to open it, it can't. So if somehow you accidentally changed your RTSP to be an incompatible program, then streaming functions like that may not work.
Did you set what version of Windows are you using?
XP SP3. Everything was working.
All right. If you go to Windows Media Player.
Yeah. You want me to do that now?
Yeah. No. I want you to write this down and go do it. Go to the options. The Windows Media Player options on the network tab, and make sure everything is checked: RTSP UDP, RTSP TCP, and HTTP. That means that all of the multicast, and also make sure all the other multicast streams are checked, and see if that does it.
It may also be he got his firewall accidentally blocking RTSP.
Well, that's what I was wondering, if there was a port blocked or something like that.
There could be. Do you have a firewall?
Yeah, CA security through Roadrunner.
Oh, there you go.
Try temporarily turning that off and see if it works. And that will let you know if it's the firewall blocking that.
Let's see.
And I have to say, I suspect that, because if you've got multiple programs, all of which don't stream anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
RTSP uses port 554.
554.
So what may have happened is some program launched.
Or an upgrade.
Or an upgrade launched and asked to use the internet, and you might have said no. You know, if it's a file name you didn't recognize.
That's possible, sure. Yeah.
Sure. So what you want to do is just temporarily shut it down, see if you can stream.
Okay.
If so, we know where the problem is. Then you just have to go into that program and open up, what was it, 554?
554.
Into what program? Works. CA Security?
Yes, right. Into the security program, and you should be able to go into individual ports, opening up individual ports, and you should be able to open up 554.
554.
Yep. Right.
Is that what you said?
Yep.
Yep.
Well, I'll give that a try and see what happens.
Let us know.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
I remember back in the early days with Microsoft Outlook Express. The file name was actually MSIMN.
Right, Microsoft Internet Mail and News.
Right. And so people, we'd be getting calls. Well, this program called MSIMN keeps popping up on my firewall, and I keep blocking it. Who's attacking me? And then without realizing, they say, oh, yeah, and I can't get my mail anymore.
Yeah, right.
Because you don't know what the name of that file is, so you blocked it, and that turns out to be your Outlook Express. So yeah. It's most of the time, no, your actual executable names are close enough to the name of the program you can tell what it is.
Right, and it is very hard in Windows. It really is to figure out what all these programs mean. And part of the problem, of course, is that
shell32.dll.
Well, exactly. One DLL, or dynamic link library, will talk to 45 different programs. So if you shut down that DLL thinking, I don't know what that is, you're done.
Yep.
All those programs stop. So you can stop individual programs without stopping the DLL, and that'll continue to work for other programs. But it is very confusing, because unless you know those names, and you know them fairly well, you don't know quite what you're shutting down.
Right. And the default option is, I don't know what that is. I better stop it.
Well, exactly right, because you think there's some... One of the things you need to be very careful with in general, of course, is to make sure that you understand the way your system works when it's working right. So that when it starts getting a little hinky, you notice it.
Listen to what noises it's making.
How it feels, what it looks like. I'm seeing something I never saw before. Well, what is it? Well, I don't remember. Well, then I can't help you. That's simple enough. We're going to take, if you're on the line, please stay on the line. If you're not on the line, I don't know why you're not. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, 966-5299, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, right here on the truly great and truly eclectic Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. You can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415, just like John did from Rochester, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
Hello, Nick. How are you, gentlemen?
How are you?
Hey, first of all, I'd like to thank you for doing what you're doing. I very much appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
And I just caught the last few minutes of the program, and it looked like you guys were getting into a kind of rescue mode type of line of thought. And I had an idea. I've been a dual boot Windows Linux person for a number of years now, so I'm used to dealing with multiple partitions on a single disk, or obviously some multiple disks in a large cabinet type system. And my suggestion to any Windows user out there would be to create just a little 10 gig partition on their single drive, in which, because from a Linux experience, my personal experience, hopefully nobody else has this experience, sometimes systems don't boot up quite as they should. And sometimes you like to take a look at stuff on other partitions, and you don't really have time to figure out what the root cause is. Sometimes being a root, you know, that is the root cause. But anyways, what I have on even single drives is even a little 10 gig partition, which I create through Partition Magic or mm-hmm. Part D or some other partitioning program, and I can always take and boot, in this case, a Linux system on that 10 gig partition and take a look at what is on that other partition that I was initially trying to boot up to.
Right. That doesn't help, of course, if the hard drive dies or the system dies, but if
exactly.
there's just a problem, for the specific instance where there's a problem booting into Windows that's caused by a corruption of the Windows operating system, then that can help you.
Mm-hmm.
There are also CDs that will do that. What's the one I'm thinking of?
Rescue CD.
Rescue CD is one. There's a couple of others where you can boot it onto the CD itself and do all kinds of stuff. And those are also useful. But what we were specifically talking about is backup, and I want people to understand that that's not a backup solution.
It's a great
solution if there's a problem with your boot up
mm-hmm.
or with Windows itself, but it is not a backup solution. It will not save your data.
Backups are very important.
Yes, they are.
Thanks
yes,
a lot,
they are,
guys.
John. Thank you very much. Great, great tip. Thanks.
There are two types of people, those that have lost data and those that will lose data.
That's exactly right. And sometimes you're in both groups if
yeah.
you're not backing up well enough. It's important to do that backup, and if you're not, I don't know what to tell you.
And most backup programs will do it silently and unobtrusively in the background. You don't even know it's happening.
The thing that really
But you
makes
need to
me,
check to make sure it is happening.
Right. The thing that makes me crazy are the people who bring us a thumb drive.
Yeah.
Right. People bring us a thumb drive and say, my dissertation's on here and I can't read it. And I say, well, luckily you've got your backup. And they go, what? No, I don't have. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No one, they straight.
No one told me I needed a backup. We had someone say that once.
It wasn't important enough for you. It's your thesis. But it wasn't important enough for you to spend $15 buying another thumb drive to back it up onto. But it is important enough for me to spend the next 22 hours getting your data back?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think that's the way it works. All right, our next caller is Nick from Irondequoit. Welcome, Nick. What's your question?
I have a question regarding my laptop having an internet connection issue. Now, I have my router at the foot of my basement stairs with both antennas facing up the stairs. Now, ever since I got this router set up about 5 years ago, I've been very successful in using my laptop in all the floors above, the kitchen, den, etc. Also, in these 5 years, I have used my laptop in my garage during the summer months. And through those 5 years, sometimes I would get an internet connection, sometimes I wouldn't. Sometimes I'd get an internet connection, then I'd lose it. Now, my garage is a straight shot down to my basement, in direct contact with my router. So, now this year, I can't even get a connection while in the garage. And I have the storm door from the basement to the garage. It's wide open, so there's no metal interference. And there's no interference with microwaves, cordless phones, etc. Now the kicker is, when I try my daughter's laptop in the garage, it picks up an internet connection and works fine.
Here's the thing. How old is her laptop versus yours?
Oh, I think they're both about 5 years old, maybe.
Yeah, it sounds...
Well, yours may be a little bit young, not as old, maybe about a year or so.
I was going to say, because, you know, it could be just in the, whether she's got... one type, what is it, N versus
one type of radio,
yeah, or the
versus
different...
another. The other problem can be that if your laptop, for example, has been running a little hot, you could be baking the radio, and it loses potency over time.
Maybe the antenna has come loose, and it's not as tight. Does that machine get a wireless connection when you're closer to the router?
No. Because I can be on the floor above the basement. I can be in any room throughout the house, and it picks it up. It's only when it's in the garage. And the garage is a straight shot. I mean, when I'm sitting down, the garage is a straight shot right down the basement stairs where the router is.
Well, that
is.
Really...
That doesn't mean anything.
It's not line of sight. It's distance.
Yeah.
And it's attenuation over that distance, and it's whatever else may be in the way. It may be that your daughter simply has a stronger radio in her laptop, and consequently, it's a different radio, certainly, if it's not exactly the same laptop.
Right.
And so she's able to pick it up better than you do, and that's just the way the world works. I've got a laptop that I can bring home, a couple of different laptops from work. One of them I can sit on my porch and work all day long, and the other one I can barely get a signal.
And again, it's the brand of them, an N versus a G versus the newer ones
and
now.
A lot of times, one router works well with the with the Qualcomm
brand,
chip, and the other router works well
stinks.
With the other chip. Yeah, you can get an antenna booster for your computer.
That would I'd advise that.
Or for the router to push the signal farther.
To the router.
Yeah, usually the router's probably easier, then it pushes it even farther.
Mm-hmm.
See, but in past years, I was getting the connection.
Yeah, but
it sounds like there's something...
And how old is the router, too?
Oh, the router's about 5 years old.
Yeah. See, all of these things lose potency over time. They get old. God knows we know all that. they get old, and they start to lose a little bit of potency. And so if your daughter's laptop is a little newer, maybe it's getting a stronger signal, getting a cleaner signal, got a different radio in it, a different brand of radio.
There could be so many.
I mean, there's a million different things that could be different.
And plus, if you've done any updates, if you've done any software updates, that can change everything.
You may want to check again and see if there's a later update for the wireless driver in your laptop.
One thing you can do is there are a bunch of places where you can download a wireless signal checker, or you can actually go to like a Home Depot type place and buy one. And it'll tell you what your signal strength is in various places. And that might give you a clue. You might be below the threshold on your laptop while your daughter is, or above, below, whatever you put that, and your daughter is the other side of the threshold.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to put one brand against another, but mine is an Acer, and hers is a Dell. I don't know if that has any difference.
It really has to do with what radio is put in. And God knows, in particular, with both Acer and Dell, they use whatever part comes out of the bin at that moment.
Broadcom. That's the other one I'm thinking about. Broadcom and Qualcomm.
But there are places that you can get various different wireless checkers that tell you what the signal strength is. And also you can buy a physical one, which actually would be a better deal.
But if her machine gets wireless in the garage and yours doesn't, it may be something in your machine. Antenna coming loose, drivers need to be updated, or something like that.
Have a friend bring over a newer laptop, see what they get.
Yeah.
Well, one other quick thing. I did mention this to one of our IT people where I work, and he said, well, maybe it's your antenna, and I'm not familiar with this, but he's... About a couple of years ago, I had my screen replaced because it was cracked.
There you go. That's where the antenna is.
And that, he said, well, it possibly could be the antenna that runs around the perimeter of a screen.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it didn't get reconnected to the card in the base of the laptop tight enough.
Tight enough.
And over that time of opening and closing the lid, you've weakened that connection.
Mm-hmm. But wouldn't that also affect my usage up in the floors above my garage, my basement?
Again,
if you're closer to the router, then you need less of an antenna.
Right.
It's an inverse square law.
The problem is that a lot of that stuff comes through the hinge and gets weaker over time. In addition, of course, all of you out there listening who ever pick up your laptops by the screen, very, very bad idea because it weakens that even more.
Yeah, so twice the different distance is a quarter the power. So if you move 5 feet closer, then you're getting much, much higher power.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, you give me some things to think about. Do appreciate your input.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
All right, we've got a couple of minutes.
Yeah, it's always frustrating.
Yeah, 1 minute. All
when
right.
Something used to work and then it stopped working.
Well, and of course, the problem with this is it's radio, and so you don't see it. And so it's a kind of a voodoo thing.
Yeah,
he said he's
got his screen door open, but that metal screen will block the radio signal.
Right. And it may be attenuating it just enough for his older radio. I mean, there's a million things that can be different about it. But one, like I said, if you go out and buy one of those wireless detectors, they kind of work like a sound meter, right? You get a higher signal when number of lights when the signal is stronger.
You can get one on
not expensive.
You can get one on the computer that's working.
That's my point. Right.
His software version on that computer that's
right.
working.
And so you can easily check to see how that signal attenuates over distance, and then that'll tell you, you know, all right, I'm getting a strong enough signal here. And this is where it drops off, and this is where I lose my signal. So I have to be somewhere where I have this much strength. But it really depends on the system. It depends on the radio that's used, and all of those are variables that are not consistent between different computer models, and often not consistent between two computers of the same model. Because, like I said, often enough they actually do that through. They just grab whatever part is available, you know, whatever's cheapest today. So you can never tell whether two computers, even from the same lot, have the same stuff in them. All right, that music tells me you've wasted 2 more hours of your life listening to this show. We want to thank you very much for having done so. We will be back next Saturday. Dave will have figured out his phone by then, so he'll be paying more attention to us. Oh, I'm getting the look now. Stay tuned.
Hey, I didn't play with it at all tonight.
Yeah, once the battery ran out.
Well, we won't go into
that. Yeah, exactly. George is coming in to do some great German music. We're Soundbites. This is member-supported Jazz 90.1.